950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on your Monday afternoon. Also along with Sam, who's on the other side of the production glass. Sam, how you doing today?
Pretty good over here. How's the Blue State ball for you?
Well, it was great for me. I know it looked like you had a good time out there as well. Fun to see lots of the listeners and a ton of great guests. So Blue State ball, I really dig that Sunday format we had too this year, a new thing.
Gary got me a really nice piece of art that he made. Thank you, Gary.
Gary made just about everyone a piece of art. Not only beautiful pictures he has, but he even framed some of the pictures for us, too. So that's kind of nice. I still have mine sitting out in my car. I haven't gotten time yet today to go and hang those up in my office. I'm still trying to catch up from being on vacation for most of last week. But I will hopefully get those pictures from Gary in Minneapolis hung up in my office at some point, because I have really nothing hanging up in my office. It's kind of just it doesn't help that my office has no windows either. For some reason, when they made the building here at AM 950, at least in the downstairs portion, they put all of the offices on the side of the building where there's no windows, and then the transmitter room where there are windows. So go figure, whenever they designed that building like 60 years ago or something.
Those transmitters really need that fresh sunlight, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Brighten up their spirits. That's how electricity works, I think.
Yeah, it can be disorienting sometimes when you're down here working in the production area where you'll all of a sudden look outside and see, oh, it's raining, oh, it's snowing, or it's dark outside, and you would come in when it's light, and yeah, it's easy to do sometimes.
These evenings are interesting, because the weekends I'm not, it's usually still light out, but especially in the winter on these Mondays when you come in and it's still bright out, and then by the time, especially when we did the 4 o'clock show here, mm-hmm. you'd go out to go home, and all of a sudden the sun's down, and you're like, whoa, what? When did it get dark?
Yeah, that 4 p.m. show was always rough from about the middle of December to the middle of January, when you're correct. It was dark even during the 4 o'clock show. So, yeah, that certainly made it a little depressing to sometimes leave to know that you're going out to darkness. But, yeah, certainly a lot better. In fact, we're actually gaining 3 minutes of sunlight every day is what I saw recently reported. So things are looking up. We're even getting close to the equinox, which I believe is coming up in middle of March, I think, is when that typically happens.
Probably it's like the first day of spring, and
yeah.
March 21st.
Isn't that the same day we do daylight savings time?
Well,
in the spring, at least?
I know
in the fall it's different. Yeah.
I know daylight savings time's coming up. I can't remember if it's the same day as that equinox, but maybe.
Yeah, so I'll go with that, even though I could be wrong. Anyways, thanks to everyone who attended the Blue State Ball. I'm going to talk more about that in just a couple of seconds, but not a good day in the stock market. The Dow Jones, last check, it was down by close to 1,100 points earlier today, but I think it's recovered at least some of the losses over the past hour or so. In fact, let's refresh it. Yeah, now it's only down about 800 points, but a lot of that attributed to what's been happening with the coronavirus, not just in China, but all over the world. And I'm going to share some thoughts on this, because even though the coronavirus is by no means the doing of any specific politician, it could be a tipping point to a much bigger economic problem that we could have here in this country. And it all has to do with corporate debt and these corporate bonds that we've seen issued over the past several years, with a lot of these bonds actually just being, well, for lack of a better way of putting it, junk bonds. So we're going to talk more about this, because I think this really could serve as a catalyst to being a much bigger economic problem here in this country than it would have been otherwise if we did not have a very loose and lax monetary policy. But do want to talk a little bit more about the Blue State Ball, because we have to thank a lot of people for coming out to attend, including, well, our co-headliners, Tom Hartman and Ilhan Omar. Tom Hartman gave just an incredible speech yesterday, drawing some parallels of what could happen during the 2020 election cycle, and then, of all things, the presidential election of 1876. This is something I vaguely remember back from, like, Greg's school when I was learning about American history, where he was talking about how in 1876 voter turnout was like 81%, and it ended up being a very contested election, since they had four states where you largely didn't know who actually won. It led to a big constitutional crisis, because when that happens, the election is supposed to go to the House of Representatives. That didn't end up happening back in 1876. They instead put together this strange sort of commission, which led to a horrible compromise that got rid of Reconstruction as soon as the Civil War ended, if you remember Reconstruction. This compromise that allowed Oh, now I'm blanking on the name. Who won that election eventually in 1876, Sam? Do you remember off the top of your head? All right, you're going to cheat and Google it for me. Good, that's why I got a producer in there. But Tom drew some parallels of what happened in 1876 in terms of what could happen in 2020, where you could actually have a situation where if the Trump administration were to lose re-election in 2020, they could try to do what happened in 1876 by saying the election is not legitimate, the vice president will not certify the election results, which is something I forgot about. For the election to actually be certified, the vice president has to sign off on it. And if they don't sign off on it, well, then you have an entirely different problem. And Sam, did you bail me out in coming up with that answer?
It looks like Rutherford B. Hayes.
That's right. What? Hayes, yeah.
Hayes won it. And it's one of those interesting ones, too, where Tilden won the popular vote, but Hayes snuck by with one extra electoral vote there.
Tilden won that popular vote by a lot, too, I think, by an even wider percentage point than even Hillary Clinton did in 2016.
50.9% to 47.9, so that's 3% points
there. So Tilden actually won a majority of the vote. Of the popular vote, rather. Hillary Clinton only won a plurality. I think he's the only person to actually win a majority of the popular vote and not go on to become president of the United States.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a pretty controversial election.
Yeah, but that aspect that Tom brought up yesterday at that speech talking about how, yeah, it is the vice president who actually has to certify those election results. And if they go out and they say, well, there was rampant voter fraud, yeah, then you could potentially have a constitutional crisis. So Tom certainly gave a great speech yesterday. Also, big thanks to Ilhan Omar for taking some time out of her very busy schedule over in Congress for coming in, talking at the Blue State Ball and going through some of her background and her story of immigrating from Somalia to the United States. Really good to hear from her. Very popular with our listeners, too, so it was good to have Ilhan Omar out there. It was a little bit up in the air as to whether she would be able to show up or not, being that, well, if you're a congressperson, your schedule is more than a little bit busy, but big thanks to her for attending. Also, State Auditor Julie Blaha, who was out there. And the state auditor position is not the sexiest position in state government, but it certainly is very important, and she gave us some background on what she does as the state auditor. Also, one of the newest big faces in Minnesota DFL politics is Susan Kent, who is the new Senate Minority Leader, as she recently took over for Tom Bach, who used to be the Senate Democratic Leader. Susan Kent was at the Blue State Ball yesterday, and man, I felt kind of dumb for a second here, Sam. She was standing in front of me for like 5 minutes as I was watching one of the speakers speak. I think it was Ilhan Omar. I had no idea it was Susan Kent. Then when I heard it was her, I had to go introduce myself, so good to see her at the Blue State Ball. It's funny how that happens sometimes. There was a Blue State Ball a couple of years ago where I think I ran into Tim Walz and didn't recognize him. So it's funny that you can sometimes bump into some pretty big names at those types of events and not actually know who they are.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Senator Mary Kunesh-Podein about that and about how she couldn't, because I'd talked to her on the phone a million times, but that was the first chance I got to meet her face-to-face. She's like, oh, I could put a face to a name. I'm like, well, I'm actually the producer, so I Google your picture all the time and put it on the podcast. But
yeah, for Robert Pilot, when he does I'm Awake, right?
Yeah, and then I think she's maybe been on Matt McNeil's once or twice.
Yeah, she's been on Matt McNeil a few times. It's, and then, yeah, she was on last week with Alan Miller when he was filling in for me, so she's certainly a friend of the station.
She was also on with Ellie Krug, too, so she's been on a lot of our shows.
Yeah, big friend of AM 950, and we really appreciate her also attending the Blue State Ball in person. Dave Hutch was out there, too. It was fun talking to Dave Hutch, one of the most down-to-earth people you will ever talk to. He and I were getting into a nice conversation about some of the drink selection. We were talking about our preferences for what we like kind of at Bauhaus Brew Lab, so it was just kind of fun talking to him. He was out of the Blue State Ball, also gave a great speech, too. Really appreciate him being a much better sheriff than what we used to have from Rich Stanek. And then we also had a number of surrogates speaking on behalf of the presidential candidates. We had surrogates for Klobuchar, Biden, Sanders, and Warren all making their pitches for why we should vote for their candidates in the primary. We also had a couple more special guests. Man, who else did we have? Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, was there. Hortman's always been a big friend of the station at AM 950, and it was good to talk with her. I got a chance to speak with her individually for a little while, and also another very down-to-earth politician. And Matt was alluding to this, too, that she's someone who really has risen from the ranks over the past 10 years, where Matt was bringing up that he talked to her at first like 10 years ago when she was just a lowly first-term legislature. And all of a sudden, she's the most powerful person in the House of Representatives. So definitely we're happy to have her out there among lots of other speakers of the Blue State Ball. Am I missing any, or did I pretty much hit up all of them that we had out there? Yeah, I can't think of anyone else that I may have missed.
There was one local person, but he didn't speak. He was in the crowd, though, and a few of the speakers referred to him, and I don't remember who that was.
Yeah, I'm blanking on that, too.
There was somebody else there, though. He didn't, like I say, he didn't speak, but he attended the event for sure.
Yeah. I'll have to record these Blue State Ball events at some point so I can actually remember who was all there. Chad Larson, the owner at the station, gave me a nice list of who was all there, so I'll have to go back and double-check that. So if I forgot your name, I do apologize, but yeah, we had a great time at the Blue State Ball yesterday. Thanks to everyone who attended, and also a big thanks to our sponsors as well of the Blue State Ball, including Wallet's Bakery for providing desserts and a cake to help us celebrate 15 years on the airwaves, a delicious cake. Also, Northern Sun selling those T-shirts. Man, they have some great T-shirts. I especially love the one that says, "Any functioning adult in 2020. Yeah, is one of the shirts they have. And of course, Bauhaus Brew Labs. They have just some delicious brews if you're a beer drinker. So, and they, of course, were also the venue that we used for this year's Blue State Ball. So definitely a big thanks goes out to them. And finally, oh, I can't forget this guy. Steve Clark and his band also played for us at the Blue State Ball. And yeah, just some good jazz music we had kind of running in the background. So appreciate Steve being out there too. Steve Clark and the Working Stiffs, a good band too. Highly recommend you check them out here in town. And of course, the many listeners that I got a chance to meet. It's always fun putting names with faces with several of our listeners, including Jennifer in Stillwater. I had never met her in person before. It was good to meet her. I'm trying to think of who else. Lynn, good to see her.
We just had a caller, and he actually was calling. He was at the Blue State Ball, and he said John Marty was somebody that was there.
John Marty. See, I knew I was going to forget somebody. Yes. State Senator John Marty, longtime senator, was out there. He did a nice job getting the crowd fired up about the DFL, hopefully taking a majority in the state Senate this fall.
The founder of our station was there, too.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget Janet Roberts and Bill Luther. Yeah.
I suppose that could have been just a given, but we can mention it.
Well, yeah, it's Janet and Bill who made the entire Blue State Ball a thing. They started AM 950, and they even had the very first Blue State Ball, which was it 2005 or 2004? Oh, they'll have to correct me on that, but I think it was shortly after we had that infamous Bush versus John Kerry election. But thanks to everyone who attended the Blue State Ball. We have lots of pictures posted on Matt McNeil's social media account. I'm a horrible social media person when it comes to posting pictures, so encourage you to go to Matt McNeil over on Twitter. He's at Matt McNeil Show. He was out there snapping, like, I think over 100 pictures, so there's lots to look at.
I was the photographer on half of those, so.
Oh, okay.
I snapped a few for Matt.
Oh, so he delegated some of those duties to you. All right.
I think I've done a pretty good job as a photographer for the past two Blue State Balls for Matt, I think.
Yeah. Well, I took like two pictures when Matt was speaking up on the stage, so I guess I could take a little credit as well. But my job was not very hard. I just had to snap a picture of Matt as he was giving his speech up there on the stage. But yeah, Blue State Ball, a great time this year. We will have it again, of course, next year, and hopefully we'll order your tickets ahead of time for next year's Blue State Ball, since I know there were several folks who wanted to attend, but unfortunately were not able to get their tickets in time. But if you did miss the Blue State Ball, we do, of course, have another chance to meet up with everyone here at the station at the Park Tavern coming up on Super Tuesday. That is March 3rd, which is now just 8 days away. We'll be doing a live broadcast along with the Devil's Advocates guys, who do our overnight show on AM 950, live at the Park Tavern. Super Tuesday gets underway at 7 o'clock. It'll be Matt McNeil hosting everything from 6 until 7 o'clock here from the AM 950 studios. But then Dom and Crute from the Devil's Advocates will be hosting things from 7 o'clock until 11:30, something around there. Kind of depends on when the results show up. I'll be there, too, reporting more on the local results here in Minnesota. That's our Super Tuesday coverage at the Park Tavern. It is a ticketless event and absolutely free to attend. You don't even need to register, and you can just show up and not pay anything, although I would encourage you to get some delicious appetizers or food over there at the Park Tavern. That is on Super Tuesday, March 3rd, and we have more details about that posted at am950radio.com. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So coming up next, we're going to be talking about what happened in the stock market today with this big collapse we saw from a number of stocks, and why I'm concerned about this idea of corporate debt. That's going to be coming up later on in the show. And then we'll also touch a little bit on caucuses that are happening tomorrow and some news regarding Amy Klobuchar. That's all coming up next here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, don't embarrass me by making me say this.
What does a used iPhone go for today?
Fine. My dad is the greatest fantasy football player of all time, Matt McNeil.
I won our league this year.
Ugh. When I'm getting together with my friends without my dad, we always go in my Sienna. Not only does it drive great in winter conditions, but it can easily fit all my friends with seating up to 8.
My son's friend's parents request he drive because he has a Sienna. It tells you everything you need to know about their safety and reliability. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Monday afternoon, the post-Blue State Ball edition of FYI Politics. And one other aspect of the ball I forgot to mention, which you might be interested in. So we conducted our very unofficial straw poll of presidential preferences at among our Blue State Ball attendees. Again, this is not scientific, so take it with a grain of salt, but it is kind of fun to conduct this among our listeners. So we had overall, I think, a little over 80 people vote, and the winner of our very unofficial AM950 presidential straw poll was Bernie Sanders, coming in with 46% of the vote. Elizabeth Warren was second at 28.4%, followed by Amy Klobuchar with 12.5%. Mayor Bloomberg came in at 8%, Biden was 2.3%, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg was 1.1%. And then we also did have one vote for a write-in slash undecided, which we actually didn't include on the actual poll question. So that was a mistake on our end right there. But always kind of interesting to run through those results where you can see at least how some of the fellow Blue State Ball attendees felt about the presidential candidates. Got a phone call on the line. Let's go to Flo in Minneapolis, who wants to talk about delegates. Hey there, Flo.
Hi. There's an important date coming up tomorrow.
That it is.
Statewide, there will be, right in your neighborhood, everybody, precinct caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who are really active and want to be involved, this is where the delegates and alternates are elected to attend upcoming endorsing conventions. Mine is DFL, of course. So we'll be electing delegates to, you know, congressional, statewide, Senate district.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important we get complete control at the state legislature, both houses, because it's a census year, and whoever is in power...
Oh, you're speaking my language, Flo.
...the district lines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. And as you brought up, even though we have a presidential primary coming up on March 3rd, we still
That's
do have
correct.
Those local caucuses. And thanks for the phone call, Flo. Do appreciate that. We still do have those local caucuses that Flo was talking about that take place tomorrow, and that's both for Republicans and Democrats. So it really will be pretty much the same as what you've experienced in prior caucuses. The only difference is that you won't be making your presidential preference tomorrow, since that will be taking place on primary day, which is March 3rd. But still, lots of important business that will be attended to at your local caucus tomorrow, where you'll be going through, well, party platforms. You'll be making resolutions saying that you think this should be on the Democratic platform. Or if you're a Republican, you could go out there and say, if you're at the Republican caucus, you think X should be on the Republican platform or Z should be on the Democratic platform, depending on which party you decide to caucus with. So that's certainly a big part of what will be happening tomorrow. And then, as Flo said, too, you can still run to be a delegate to move higher and higher along the process. As I was reading through, I think there's like four levels that overall take place in Minnesota. It starts with the local caucuses tomorrow, and if you decide to be a delegate, and by the way, at least starting tomorrow, pretty much anyone who wants to be a delegate will likely be able to be a delegate. There's only a few local precincts that are actually competitive where you have more people who want to be delegates than spots are actually available. But at least of all the ones I've attended, usually there's always been more spots available than people who actually want to run. I don't know, Sam, if you've ever attended that before yourself, a local caucus. But typically, if you want to be a delegate to the next level, you pretty much can be one.
No, I was actually about to ask you, what entails that if you become a delegate at this first, then you move on to the next one, which is in a couple months?
Yeah, and we'll
now,
cover this more in detail tomorrow on the program. But a little preview is that, for tomorrow, now you got me mixed up on my days there. Yeah, if you decide to become a delegate, then there's a very good chance you probably will be able to be one, especially since I'm imagining caucus turnout will probably be down without that presidential preference. You go on to, I forgot the name of the next level, but it's the one before the county slash district convention that takes place. It's like the second level up where you go to there and you go to whatever, I think it might be called the district convention, where you'll go through largely the same business, talking about different policy proposals. You'll sometimes even make endorsements of candidates. And then from there, you can run to be a delegate at the next level, which I believe goes up to the congressional district level. Again, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I'll have this much more thoroughly researched by tomorrow. But then there's a third level that you have to move on to, which I believe is at the congressional level. Then from there, if you run to be a delegate yet again, then you get to move on to the state convention, which, of course, is the final step in Minnesota. And you can decide at the state convention if you want to be a delegate to the national convention in Milwaukee this year. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, the process is a little bit different. So it goes on and on. And typically, the higher the level you move up, the tougher it becomes to actually be remain a delegate, since typically there are more people who want to be delegates than there are spots available. And especially when you get to that second, third, and definitely the state level, you have to do a little campaigning trying to convince people to vote for you to actually be a delegate at that next level. So that's how the process largely works. I actually had my grandma, who was a Republican for years, who went to the national convention a number of times, so she was a little familiar with how that process worked. And by the way, she has an interesting story. She's passed a few years ago, but she was originally a Republican for years and years, but once W. Bush took office, she switched and largely became a Democrat. So she's actually one of the people that got me involved in politics and made sure I voted every single time. But yeah, she was a national delegate for the Republicans a number of times, and she went through that entire process where you would have to become a delegate at the different levels until you finally work your way up to the national convention. So that's a little bit of a preview of kind of what you can expect tomorrow. At least that'll be the first step you have to take if you eventually do want to be a delegate that goes on to Milwaukee later this summer. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll continue with FYI Politics coming up next.
Branding electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years. Celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at MohsTax.com. That's MohsTax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
Hey, Twin Cities, are you trying to move your side hustle to your main hustle? Having trouble leveling up your back office? Getting stuck on how to find investors so you can secure that bag? Then you need to come to Connect Up Summit Friday, March 13th and Saturday, March 14th at Metro State in St. Paul. Connect Up is a two-day summit offering hands-on workshops and connects small businesses with each other, local investors, as well as other local and national resources in the Minnesota entrepreneur ecosystem. Connect Up sells out every year, so get your ticket today. Go to www.connectupmn.com.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Located just south of downtown Minneapolis, the Blaisdell is the perfect venue for your next event. The Blaisdell is a fresh, modern, newly remodeled historic mansion with spaces that can accommodate groups of 25 to 700. While perfect for weddings, the Blaisdell also includes rooms with high-tech audio and video equipment for your company's next gathering. So whether it's a dream wedding or impressing colleagues and clients, choose the Blaisdell as your next event venue. Select dates are still available. More at theblaisdell.com.
Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn is proud to announce a delicious addition. You can now combine their famous tenderloin burger and fries with the renowned Blanton's, the original single-barrel Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey, for only $25. But the Burgers and Blanton's experience is only for the month of February, so gather your friends and stop in at the historic, warm and comfortable Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn to enjoy Burgers and Blanton's for only $25 during February. More at NicoletIslandInn.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 40. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 24. Tuesday, cloudy with a high near 32. And Wednesday, cloudy with a high around 25. Cafe Latte is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They're a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salad sandwiches and soups, plus they have no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Cafe Latte is located on Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Details at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
And you're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. It's a Monday afternoon, and as you may have seen in the news today, not good news on the stock market, as the Dow Jones at one point was down close to 1,100 points. Right now, it's sitting right between an 800 and 900-point loss, which is probably where it will end up when the markets actually close in about 25 minutes from now. But either way, certainly not a good day on the stock market. Now, we do need to put this in context, because when you hear about point drops and you hear that, oh, the Dow is down 1,000 points or 1,100 points, that's not the most helpful way to actually measure what's happening on Wall Street. The more helpful thing to actually look at is the percentage change, because if you look at the percentage drop of what happened with the Dow, which today it's going to end up probably somewhere between 3 and 3.5%, even if you take that upper echelon of 3.5%, that wouldn't even crack the top 50 days in terms of the biggest losses we've had on the stock market. Although a nuance with that, though, most of those instances among those 50 biggest drops on the stock market, almost all of those occurred either during the Great Depression during the 1930s and 40s and Great Recession, which of course happened from 2008 to 2009. There's a few other instances that are exceptions to that, including the big stock market crash of October of 1987, which actually is the biggest percentage points drop in stock market history. But almost all of those occurred during the Great Recession and Great Depression. There's something that I think is a larger issue that eventually is going to come back and, well, burn us here in the economy. And it's something I've mentioned on previous shows, and it's corporate debt. Now, of course, what's happening with the coronavirus has nothing to do with corporate debt, but it could be a catalyst for really what could lead to, I think, a pretty big collapse here in our country, because we have a ton of corporate debt in this country, and a lot of it has actually been through junk bonds. So let's go through a little background on this, though. So I got to go back to my old accounting days here, Sam, and go through the definition of what is a corporate bond, because this is what we mean when we talk about corporate debt. They're corporate bonds. So here's the book definition. So a bond is a debt instrument issued by an entity to raise money. In the case of a corporate bond, the entity in question is a corporation looking to raise capital for a host of reasons, whether to expand, upgrade equipment, or invest in research and development or mergers and acquisitions. So there's your book definition. In other words, though, in layman's terms, it's essentially you giving an IOU to a corporation. So let's say you're an average person out here, or a hedge fund manager, or maybe another company, something like that. Let's say you're going to loan the corporation $20,000. So what you end up doing during this scenario, you have a $20,000 bond that you're going to be giving to a corporation. So if you buy a 10-year $20,000 bond that pays 3% interest, what that actually means is that upfront, yeah, you give the corporation $20,000. And then at the end of that 10-year period, you get back that $20,000. But you also get interest every year as well. So in the example we're giving right here on a 10-year $20,000 bond paying 3% interest, 3% of $20,000 is $600, you would, in addition to getting your $20,000 back in 10 years, you would also get a payment of $600 every year for 10 years. So you would also make $6,000 in profit. So that's a little background on how corporate bonds work. It's a very basic sense of how they work. There's, of course, other types of bonds that are issued, including what's called floating rate bonds, which have variable interest rates that change on outside factors, with a lot of them having to do with the federal interest rate. And these are sometimes referred as junk bonds, because typically that means their credit ratings are really low and they're considered a higher risk investment, since there's a chance that the corporation issuing those bonds could default. So hopefully you're still with me so far. So continuing, Moody's rates all of these bonds that are issued by corporations, and they have several different ratings that they assign to these bonds. You have AAA, which is the best, followed by AA, single A, kind of sounds like a baseball team or baseball organization almost, followed by BAA, BA, B, BBB, and then you go down into the Cs. But anything that is rated BBB or below is considered a junk bond, being that they're called high yields, as they're bonds that have very high interest rates or fluctuating interest rates, since they have a higher risk of actually defaulting. So there's a little background on this. So keep this in mind on how a bond works in some of these ratings, because I want to go to something now that was just put out a few days ago by what's called the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. Because, again, this doesn't sound like the sexiest story ever, but they've been kind of flashing some alarm bells over the past few days, saying that we are at a pretty alarming amount of corporate debt right now. So this is a 36-member body that covers the world's major economies, and by no means is this some liberal organization or even conservative organization. It's just a monetary group of people that analyzes monetary policy. It found that at the end of 2019, the global outstanding stock of non-financial corporate bonds had reached an all-time high of $13.5 trillion. So basically what that means by non-financial debt, they're talking about, well, debt or bonds that are issued by non-financial institutions. That would be pretty much any corporation that's not a bank or like a J.P. Morgan or something like that. So we're at an all-time high in the amount of bonds that have been issued by corporations. And the report also found, issued by this group, that in comparison to previous credit cycles, and this is key, today's stock of outstanding corporate bonds has lower overall ratings quality, higher payback requirements, longer maturities, and inferior investment protection. Not only has the quality of debt escalated, or quantity of debt escalated, the quality has decreased. So we've had more bonds continually being issued, but they're at a lower quality, meaning if you're someone who has taken in a bond, whether you're a hedge fund manager, which probably isn't a lot of people listening to AM 950, or just your average person or another company, yeah, you're taking on increasingly risky bonds from these corporations. That's what it's talking about. In fact, they say since 2010, about 20% of all bonds issued have been declared essentially junk bonds. In fact, that jumped up to 25% in 2019, last year. It went up to 25%. So these are all junk bonds that have been issued at a pretty alarming rate over the past few years. Now, why this is important is that, let's say you have some sort of minor economic downturn, like what maybe happened today with the coronavirus. Well, all of a sudden, do those companies actually have the ability to pay back the interest on those bonds or even the principal on those bonds? That's what gets really concerning. In fact, the IMF, again, the International Monetary Fund, by no means a liberal lefty organization, recently put something out just a couple of months ago talking about how if we even had a recession that was only half as bad as the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, almost 40% of total corporate debt would be considered, well, impaired, being that companies would not have the ability to pay back the interest or the principal on those bonds. So, yeah, throwing a lot of terms out there, but essentially what that means is that if we have an economic downturn, companies aren't going to have the ability to pay back all of this debt that they've taken in for years and years and years. And what do you think is going to happen if companies default on their debt? Well, they got to pay it back somehow. They're either going to go bankrupt or, yeah, they're probably going to lay off employees or cut production and overall hurt the economy. So this is very concerning to me because you have something like the coronavirus, which has nothing to do, in essence, with corporate debt or even policy put forth by any politician. But what you're essentially doing by taking on all this corporate debt is that you're dousing your house with gasoline. And all of a sudden, if you light a match from what could be a very minor event like an economic downturn from the coronavirus, you exponentially make it worse and worse. And that's what has me really concerned about just any sort of geopolitical event like this, like a coronavirus. It could end up being a whole lot worse than it needs to be because we have all of this corporate debt. Now, a couple more points with this. Why have companies been taking on all of this corporate debt? Well, it's largely been to fund what are called stock buybacks. So what are stock buybacks? They're essentially what they sound like. They're when companies buy back their own stock because that artificially raises the price of your stock. It's a simple kind of supply and demand equation right there if you think about it, where if you have fewer stock options available for people to purchase, that of course would make the price go higher since you have fewer to purchase and people would be more inclined to actually, well, it's supply and demand in that, yeah, if you have smaller supply, demand would go up, and that leads to an increase in the price. So that's what's happening in terms of companies going and buying back their own stocks through actually corporate debt. So this is what has me very concerned about what's been happening, at least today with the coronavirus. I am not sure if this will be the catalyst that leads to some sort of the debt bubble actually crashing. But, yeah, it's very worrying to me that we have all of this debt that's been issued by corporations over the past few years. It even exceeds the levels we had during the Great Recession, and even going back to the early 2000s, we're at the highest levels of debt that we've pretty much ever experienced. And, yeah, all it's going to take is some sort of catalyst, and, yeah, we could have a major problem with liquidity here in this country. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Yeah, just very, very concerning to me, especially when you look at the fact that all of this corporate debt is just being used to fund stock buybacks, which artificially raises the price of stock, doesn't really do anything to help actual workers in a corporation. We're going to take a break and come back with some more local stories here on AM 950 as you're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Hello? Is anybody here? You there. I'm George Washington, here for the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Where is everyone?
It was moved, sir. Ben Franklin blasted out an event on Facebook and invited everyone to Independence Hall. Didn't you get it?
I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get blasted out on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. SocialMediaMN.com or 763-244-4058.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Stop in the wine bar and enjoy a unique pizza loaded with fresh vegetables and perfectly roasted meats. Over 30 wines by the glass, Cafe Latte highlights Washington State wines and is the perfect destination for date night or an evening with friends. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Victor's 1959 Cafe has been serving South Minneapolis traditional Cuban food for over 15 years. Victor's is open for breakfast and lunch daily and now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try the Pollo Tropicale or the Sandwich Cubano, which was featured on Food Network. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
February is the month of love. Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. And when's the last time you gave your carpet some love and attention? Not only is your carpet one of the biggest investments in your home, but it's also the biggest air filter. So breathe better this month and get three rooms Zero Res Clean starting at only $119. And because love has no limits, Zero Res will throw in a free hallway cleaning and will take 10% off your entire bill if you get your air ducts and carpet cleaned together. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Back for the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on your Monday afternoon. So, yeah, just summarizing. So, 40% of all corporate debt is now considered at risk, which is more than we had during the financial crisis. This is according to the IMF. So, if we have a recession that's even half as severe as 2008, corporate debt that is at risk, which is now 40% of all debt. That would mean corporations would not be able to cover their interest expenses with their profits. That would overall be $19 trillion. So imagine, even a minor economic downturn all of a sudden could cause all sorts of havoc with companies either deciding to, well, we got to cut employees to pay back what we owe on our bonds, or also just flat out going bankrupt. It's a very big concern that often doesn't get reported. And the bigger part that's even more problematic is that this corporate debt even isn't even being used to, you know, boost manufacturing or to boost employee salaries. It's instead just being used to buy back their own stock, which, again, as I talked about, reduces the number of publicly traded shares, briefly boosting the value of the stock to benefit the shareholders and corporate leadership, but doesn't really do a whole lot in terms of actually helping out the company as a whole. So that's the reason, too, why the stock market had, at least up until today, been reaching historic levels. You have companies just artificially raising their prices by buying back their own stock, and it's being financed by, well, junk bonds that have been issued over the past few years. It's overall just a ticking time bomb that is waiting to explode, and whatever ends up being the catalyst, whether it's the coronavirus or something else, eventually, that money, that debt, has to be paid back. People who took in these bonds, whether no matter who they are, if they're individuals or other businesses or portfolio managers, yeah, you're eventually going to want their interest payments back and their principal payments back. And eventually, yeah, if you end up having companies that can't meet their obligations, well, people are going to try to sell bonds at low prices, and it's overall not going to be good for the economy. So something that will probably happen over, I don't know, maybe it'll happen this year, maybe it'll happen next year, but either way, unless you actually get a hold of this problem, we're eventually going to be sitting on a ticking time bomb in terms of debt, and it's going to explode, and it's probably not going to be pretty at all. All right, also in the news today, switching gears off of that happy note there. So, want to actually know who the superdelegates are from Minnesota that will be going to the Democratic National Convention? We have a list of them right now, which could be significant, being that if we do have a contested convention at the Democratic National Convention, that would mean superdelegates get to vote in the second round of voting. And we do have a list of Minnesota superdelegates. I just found this kind of interesting in terms of who gets to be a superdelegate. So here's the list of our superdelegates in Minnesota. Walter Mondale, Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, Tim Walz, Angie Craig, Betty McCollum, Ilhan Omar, everyone's favorite Democrat, Colin Peterson, then Dean Phillips, Ken Martin, Marge Hoffa, and then five DNC members that I'm guessing you probably don't know the names of, but I'll go through them anyways. Lori Selner, Ellie Zarogza, also Ron Harris, J.P. Barone, and then another person, Debbie Gotell. So those are your DNC superdelegates from Minnesota that could possibly get a vote if we actually end up going to a contested convention, although I think that's increasingly unlikely, being that if you do go to a convention and you have someone like a Bernie Sanders who has a plurality of the votes, I imagine he would probably work out some sort of deal with like an Elizabeth Warren saying, all right, Warren, we'll make you the vice president, or we'll make you the secretary of something, or we'll give you another cabinet position as long as you have all of your delegates vote for me at the convention. That's what I think you would ultimately have happen if you have someone like Bernie get not a majority but a plurality of the delegates. You would probably have him work out a deal with someone like an Elizabeth Warren. Same if a more moderate candidate were to have a plurality of the delegates but not a majority. You would probably also see them work out a deal with some of the other candidates, promising them cabinet positions if they tell their delegates to go and vote for them. So that's why I think it probably is unlikely that we would have that sort of contested convention that would go on to a second and a third ballot. I think there would be a lot of deal-making going on behind closed doors. All right, so Super Tuesday is a week from Tuesday, and prepare to see more ads from Mike Bloomberg as this is being reported out on Twitter. Someone actually got a production order from Carol Levin that has the Mike Bloomberg campaign ordering just a little under $400,000 of advertising between now and March 3rd on Carol Levin, and they also had to report the Bloomberg campaign on that report how much money they'll be spending overall in the market. Want to know how much it is? $1.6 million worth of ads. going to be spent on the by the Bloomberg campaign in Minnesota between now and March 3rd. So prepare to see a lot more of those ads, as that ad was or that report was put out by one of the political reporters out there on Twitter today. A couple other notes before we wrap up the show today, and this is a question that I saw posed recently. Can a 17-year-old vote in the Minnesota presidential primary if they'll be 18 by the time we reach election day for the general election? The answer is actually no, which I think is different from the caucus system we had, where if you were 18 on election day but you were 17 when the caucuses took place, I believe you were still able to actually cast your presidential preference. But with the primary system, it's actually a little bit different, where if you're 17 years old right now but will be 18 on election day, unfortunately, yeah, you are not going to be able to vote in the primary coming up on March 3rd. So we'll have a lot more on this coming up on the show tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be having a guest that can fill us in a little bit more on what will be happening with caucuses, and then also give us a preview of what we can expect on primary day, March 3rd, although March 3rd is pretty straightforward. You just show up to your ballot place and then you make your presidential preference, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. Although if you're on the Republican side, you only have Donald Trump or a write-in choice. So, yeah, very likely Trump would end up probably with something like 95 or 97% of the vote. We're at 952-946-6205 if you want to sneak in a call before we wrap up our show today. And one more story that's a little bit more lighthearted, but still worth bringing up since this has to do with a Minnesota company. Apparently, French fries have gotten much more healthy thanks to a Minnesota company. This is actually out of The Observer magazine, where it says, "Eat up, America, your favorite standby comfort food. Those greasy French fries have gotten a little bit healthier." Well, healthier than they were a few years ago, and that's thanks to a local Minnesota company called Cal. I'm trying to pronounce this name. It's spelled C-A-L-Y-X-T, so Calixt, maybe? They've had a breakout in terms of vegetable oil, which now several companies are using in their French fries. So, yeah, if you're a fan of having French fries as your side dish sometimes, well, they apparently got a little bit healthier. I don't know about you. I sort of like having French fries like when I'm out with friends sometimes, just as something to snack on at the table. But, yeah, apparently they're going to be a little bit healthier now. Also, a few more notes to report. Amy Klobuchar is going to be making a $4.2 million ad buy across Super Tuesday states, which is not really a whole lot when you consider how big a swath the Super Tuesday states cover. So I think her campaign is definitely in some trouble. And then you also look at some data showing that she really didn't make any inroads in terms of trying to get minority voters in Nevada, as she got just 4% of the Latino vote and 3% of the black vote. And then you combine that with the fact that she'll only be spending about $4.2 million across Super Tuesday states, which, again, looking at the wide swath of the states, is not really a whole lot of money. Yeah, she's probably going to need a minor miracle to have a chance on Super Tuesday, but maybe if she wins Minnesota, that gives her some momentum, but yeah, not going to hold my breath about that, especially with those results we saw in Nevada on Saturday. That's all the time we got for today on FYI Politics. Matt McNeil is coming up next.